Welcome to WP Cafe with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson.
And your notifications by the sounds of things.
And that's probably the Twitter one that you just sent out.
Yeah. How you doing, Mark? You all right?
I am very well, thank you. You okay?
Yeah, good. Bit good. Tired.
Bit tired.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just
you're always tired.
I am always tired. I'm just a kind of low energy kind of guy, I think. Oh, need more of this. Hence the coffee kind of theme, I guess. But I've got this coffee cup. I know listeners on the podcast aren't going to be able to see this. I'm going to have to read it. But it's a cycle path sort of. But it says a person suffering from a chronic and extreme love of cycling, an unstable individual unable to adjust to society without repeated and lengthy excursions on a bike. So apparently that's me. Yeah. that was my new mug. So we've got a few things to chat about this week. First off, feels like are we gonna settle into a little weekly show now rather than monthly?
Yeah, I think so. I quite like just, I don't know, whatever it is, 40 minutes on a Friday, just having a chat about things. Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, slightly shorter form, slightly more regular, just kind of informal chats about things that have interested us in the last week. Sounds good to me.
Definitely. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
What do you want to kick off first? Well, I think the big news in WordPress land should go first, really, shouldn't it?
The new WordPress, you mean?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, WordPress version 6 landed on, I want to say Tuesday, but I might be wrong. Might have been Wednesday. And it actually has some really good features, actually. When I was looking through the features list, I did a video, actually. It's on the channel. Looking through the field guide. I don't know if you know, every WordPress launch has like a field guide, which talks about all the features and it links. It's actually really good. And it links to all of the blog posts on the Make blog about each feature, and it's actually a really good way of looking at what's new, what's different, what's changing, what might you have to look out for. And I looked through and thought there's a few things here that could be really interesting, notably things like locking blocks, some new functions, some new filters to do with taxonomies and post types were interesting, and patterns, the way block patterns are changing or being enhanced, I thought was really interesting. Particularly, there is something, I don't know whether it's coming yet. I think it is, but I haven't tested it. But when you click on a new page, you can have like a modal appear that says choose a block pattern, which I think is quite interesting, rather than having to sort of like have the page appear in the wrong format almost, and then you've got to go to patterns and then drop your pattern on the page.
Is it still called like a block pattern rather than like a block template? Because I don't know.
I think it was still patterned. I'm not sure, but anyway, that was interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, there does look to be some good stuff, and obviously there's lots of other things there. But do have a look. We can put the link to the field guide for WordPress version 6 in the description below. And what have you found about it, listeners, watchers? If you've found anything that you like, don't like, I'd love to hear it. One of the more controversial things is markup changes that have happened. Mm. There are some changes in markup that have happened with some blocks. I think the image block is one where they have dropped a wrapper div, which kind of makes sense, actually. I think it used to be wrapped with a div and then it had a figure and then an image, and now it's just figure image with the same classes that were on the div on the figure, which kind of makes sense to me. And some other ones. I know we had one issue. We still have one issue because we haven't yet fixed it yet on one website, which was something to do with these container classes that it keeps adding to things, and then it outputs some CSS inline CSS on like in the footer of the page, which has caused a bit of a problem with one of them. Do you want to explain what that was, Keith? It might be the other CSS person.
Well, yeah. What seems to be happening more and more with Gutenberg, or with the block editor, I should say, is that they're adding classes to cut like specific classes to blocks, so that they can then target that very specific, that single block on a page, with certain styles. So
that's why it's got a number then, and it's like, I think it's like WP container 43, 64, 98. So they've all got specific ones for specific blocks.
It's but almost like a block ID, but it's being done as a class.
Yeah, but sure, that would mean you'd have repeated stuff, because if you've got two column blocks that have got the same settings, then surely those two blocks are going to end up having exactly the same output as styles and across the bottom of the page, which seems a bit strange to me. Surely you'd want to output that once, and then you'd apply it to all the blocks that it applies to. But I don't know.
This is my argument. My audio should be better now, by the way. This is kind of what I've been saying for a little while, is that why are we writing specific style rules for individual blocks rather than saying, okay, so to take the column block for as an example, so it might add a gap property, like alignment property, or something like that, or justification kind of property for the columns, so you can like align like flex start, flex end, center, stretch, whatever. And it seems to kind of like just there's a default for that, so which is output, I think. And then, but that's if you have the same structure for all of your, like, multiple column blocks on a page, you're outputting that exact same set of styles over and over and over again. I'm like, well, why are we not just adding classes? So you're having to add this specific class anyway, which is like an ID to the block. If we're doing that anyway, why are we not just adding the styles?
Because the block editor need? Loads a front end style sheet, doesn't it?
Well,
so why can't we just say this is a column block, and therefore add those like the default styles or other stuff? I don't know. It seems a bit strange.
Well, it actually
adds. So I was just looking. It adds display flex, gap 2m, flex wrap no wrap, and align item center. That's what that wrapper class is now outputting for us, which obviously we don't want.
And I'm not entirely sure why. Like, I don't know. There's probably some reasons, and it's probably so that you can be more specific. Because if so, for example, in that example you just gave, it says gap two rem or something, or 2m or 2M, something, right?
Yeah.
2m. So I'm assuming that somewhere within Gutenberg now I can control that gap.
But it doesn't appear to be in the block settings. Like, as
no,
an edit.
But I think these kind of layout settings are kind of there behind the scenes already. I don't know how much they've been exposed, if we need to kind of turn them on in our themes or not.
But is that a theme Jason thing?
It could be. But my point is that it would be very difficult to create a class that handles any value. So it might be 1.95m instead of 2m. What does the class look like for that? So there's certain scenarios where I can see that you would need something very, very custom, where you have like almost like an infinite sliding scale of values. But for something like flex, like align items, or justify content, or like properties like that, where there's a very finite number of values.
Yeah, there's only a certain list of values that you can have.
I don't know why we can't use classes for that. So like, you know, whatever the class is, and then dash dash, flex align flex start.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem quite right to me the way that they're currently doing it. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
If you're listening or watching and you know the answer to this, we'd love to know the answer to this as to why this approach was taken. So please let us know in the comments or on Twitter. Maybe there's a GitHub ticket or track ticket or something that people have discussed this, and this was chosen as the route down to do because of the reason that we don't know, which would be nice to know. So yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah.
So yeah, WordPress 6, we've upgraded some sites, and apart from that, doesn't appear to have caused any issues, so for us, which is good.
I'm sure there'll be a few little sneaky things that haven't been noticed yet, but hopefully nothing major, which is testament to the backwards compatibility that they're trying to maintain, I guess.
Exactly. There's a tweet, I don't know who tweeted it now, and it's like, it's been out for 12 hours and it'd already been downloaded, I think it was 12 million times.
It's unreal, so it's like, isn't it?
It's amazing. Amazing. But yeah.
Yeah.
So WordPress 6, let's move on. What's next in our list of chattable items today? What have you got on your list?
Well, the first thing I put on my list was just something that we've been doing this week that I've found really valuable, is just interviewing some of our customers. So we have a product side to our business called Job Relay. It's I won't go into what it is, but basically we've got, you know, 150 odd customers now, and Mark and I are, you know, we started to think about, well, how can we grow this? Can we improve Job Relay? Can we offer like add-on services in some way? And you know, you and I started talking about like where are we going to go kind of next with it, or with something kind of complementary. And then we just thought, well, why don't we just, we've got all these people who are our customers. Yeah. They seem to be happy customers. Let's ask them. So the way we went about that was we offered all of our customers half an hour's free kind of WordPress stroke web consultancy with us in exchange for 15 minutes of their time, where we can just ask them questions about Job Relay and about their websites. How do you think it's gone, Mark, that process?
I think it's been actually really good. And actually, I was surprised at how many have booked a call with us. So I kind of, part of me just thought, oh, no one's going to want to bother with that. Just like one of those emails you get and it's like, just ditch it. But within a matter of 10 minutes of sending the email, we had a number of people book a call, which was quite encouraging. And the calls themselves are interesting. It's always interesting to talk to customers, isn't it? Like, if you don't do it, you should do. whatever business you're in, I think, and whatever technology product you're selling, it doesn't really matter. Talk to your customers, ask them what they liked about it, what they don't like about it, why they bought it, what they thought it would do. Does it do what they think it would do? What would you like it to do that it doesn't do that you think could fit in? It's just really nice to speak to them about it. And on the whole, the stuff we got back was positive, with some ideas as well and things. And it was good. And it's good, again, just as well to chat with them about their businesses and, you know, where they are and what problems they want to solve and what problems they've got in the businesses that they think, you know, we could help with or products could help with. It was a good experience.
Yeah, definitely. And it just kind of, I think, if nothing else, just cements those relationships a little bit as well, you know, shows them that we're kind of there to help. I found it really interesting asking the price question. Like you've been asking, do you think it's priced too high or too low or just right? And the different answers, I was kind of expecting everyone to say too high because no one likes spending money on anything. But actually, most people so far have said that it's priced probably right. They certainly had no qualms about paying the price, and one person saying it's ridiculously expensive, but he paid it anyway. So that's kind of interesting in itself. Maybe that's perfect pricing if someone's
I didn't expect anyone to say, oh, it's too cheap, you should double it, you know, because
I did kind of get the impression that the people that were very happy with it probably would have paid more.
Yeah, but you're not gonna say that, are you?
No.
Are you very happy with your broadband at home? Yeah, probably are, because it works, but you won't pay more for it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you're never going to say that. But yeah, so that's I just found that's been a really good experience. So I guess the takeaway there is email your customers or your clients and just say, fancy a chat, you know?
Definitely.
And just talk to them about how they are, what their websites, you know, website problems or whatever kind of angle you've got on them, you know, just chat away, offer some advice and get a bit of intel back from them. It's been really good.
You can't underestimate it, I think, because like we have several clients on like maintenance and support retainer contracts, which we have looking after the websites and things, and we always have a call with them every month as part of that. And actually sometimes the call is very quick, isn't it? It's more, you know, everything's fine, I have nothing, no problems. But it is just nice to speak to them and, like, you know, we're still here to help you. So I'd encourage that as well. But even if it's just for that, it's really good to speak to your clients and say hello. Anything else?
Definitely. Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, moving on.
I've got a little kind of front-endy tool to talk about. So on most of our builds recently, I've tried to implement some kind of responsive typography. So this is usually using the clamp function in CSS. You can basically say, at a certain screen size, I want the font size to be, for example, you maybe start at, you know, 15 pixels, and by the time you've got up to like a big desktop kind of screen size, it might be up to 18 pixels, and you kind of choose a kind of point where it kind of starts to get bigger or smaller in between those two, and it scales beautifully. And I've done that on a few sites recently, and it's been really good for the typography, but what I've found is that the type hierarchy that works well on a desktop often doesn't work well on mobile. So for example, say you're doing something like taking a base font size of 16 pixels and your next font size up is 1.25 times 16. The next font size up is 1.25 times that. The next, so you've got this kind of like modular kind of scale thing going on with your typography. That's quite common.
Yep.
And it might end up that, for example, your H1s on desktop are like 50 pixels, which is like quite big.
Yep.
Now, even though you're scaling your 16 pixels, your base font size down on mobile, say to maybe 14 pixels or something like that, those H1s are still too big for mobile.
On a mobile.
Or quite often, yeah. It obviously it depends what kind of scale you're using and what kind of hierarchy you're using. But what I've found is that they don't really work as a mobile scale. They can if your scale is really kind of short. So like the difference between the base font size and the biggest font size is quite small. But if you're going for something a bit more dramatic on desktop, it often just doesn't work on mobile because you don't have enough, you know, the words don't fit anymore across the screen. So that's been a problem we've been facing recently. The other problem that we've been facing, which is kind of related, is like spacing, so responsive spacing. So again, on desktop, you might want to use like lots of white space. You've got more screen real estate to play with. So I quite often like to have a lot of margin and padding between my elements just to give it a lot of breathing room and that kind of more premium kind of feel. So you might, for example, have 100 pixel padding like between group elements and things like that, which looks lovely on a desktop, and you scale it down to mobile and you've got these huge like half screen gaps between sections of your site. It just doesn't work the same way. And again, even if you base that off of the base kind of font size unit, so say you're scaling from 16 down to 14, it's not enough of a change. So what I found, and I've come across this before, but it recently came across my, I think, Twitter feed again recently. There's a site called Utopia, and it's utopia.fyi. Pretty cool domain name. It says it's supported by Clear Left, so I'm assuming that the developers behind this are Clear Left developers. They're quite a famous agency here in the UK. And what they've done is they've got a type scale calculator and a fluid space calculator that does exactly what you need it to do. So the type scale calculator, for example, lets you set a minimum viewport. So I can say my minimum viewport width is 320 pixels. At that size, I want my base font size to be 15 pixels, and I want my type scale to be 1.1. At my max viewport, which is 1140 pixels, I want my font size to scale up to 20 pixels, and I want my type scale to actually be larger. So there's a more dramatic difference between all of those font sizes. Yep. So I want that now to be 1.33, for example. And it just gives you all of this. It just calculates all the CSS you need. It's amazing. And it visually shows you what that looks like, and you can rescale, you can resize the page, and it shows you how that all reacts. And then it does exactly the same thing for spacing. So it says at your minimum viewport, 320 pixels, choose your kind of spacing unit, your maximum viewport, choose your spacing unit, and it'll come up with this whole kind of spacing system based on CSS variables. It just looks phenomenal. So I'm busy playing with that and very, very excited to be implementing that in some future builds.
I was looking at it now, so it spits out the code that you can just copy and paste, I guess, can you?
Yep.
Into your CSS or your SAS.
Yep, exactly. And then you've got all these amazing, like, just, yeah, variables to use. So dash, dash, space, dash, medium, or whatever.
Yep.
And you can have, one of the clever things is you can have spacing rules that go from, like, really small to really big. So if there's a particular module on the site that you wanted to go from like a really tiny spacing unit to actually on desktop, you want that space to be really big. Yep. You can have these kind of custom, they call them like custom pairs. So it doesn't just scale from like small to medium, it scales from small to extra large over the course of that. So yeah, there's some extra powerful stuff in there, but I just thought it looked brilliant. So utopia.fyi.
That's interesting. I'll put the link in the description for the video after.
Yep.
Which, hopefully that'll be useful to some others as well, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you find that? Just searching? Or?
Yeah. Someone had tweeted about it.
Someone tweeted it.
And I had seen it before, and then it just came across my Twitter feed at exactly the right time, as these things sometimes do, just as I was starting to think about redesigning our site. So, yeah.
I wonder if that's... Yeah, if that's coincidence or whether that's
yeah,
the algorithm's being very good. I
don't know. Yeah, it's hacked into my brain and knows what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? That's good. Excellent. We had a site go live this week.
On we did.
Monday night, Tuesday, wasn't it? Which is exciting. Yeah. That seemed to go nice and smoothly as well. That was one of our, got a big recruitment group. One of the first sort of site went live, which is exciting. Pretty smoothly as well. One or two hiccups, but nothing major.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's good.
That's gone really well. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. I was working with WP Engine. That's where the host is. So it was, fairly smooth, mapping the live domain and making sure the SSL certificate was working and doing some search and replace and things for the domain. It's in a multi-site, so it was a little bit different to a normal WordPress install, but yeah, it went quite smoothly. It's one of those things where you wake up on Tuesday morning and there's no emails in the inbox and it's like, oh, something must have gone right.
yeah.
No, which is good. Nice. Yeah, it was good. So that was that. Anything else on your list?
The only other little thing I noted down was a bit of WordCamp Europe FOMO. But
FOMO? FOMO. Yeah. So is that next week, is it?
I think people are there already. So
All right.
Yeah, so presumably is it towards the end of next week? I think it looks like some people are taking long holidays. I've seen some pictures on Twitter of people in Porto or in Portugal now.
That's where it is, isn't it? That's where it's happening.
Yeah.
Second to the fourth, so it's next week end, isn't it? Thursday. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We did consider going, didn't we? Like a good while ago, but just kind of, I don't know. I'm just not massively compelled.
Me neither.
Can't work out why, really. Don't know.
Yeah.
I bet it would be great. I bet if we went, we'd absolutely love it. But yeah, there's just something, it's like, it's a lot of money. I don't know.
It would be a considerable investment to go over, wouldn't it, the two of us?
Yep.
Flights, yep. Hotels, food. Et cetera.
And apart from the enjoyment, I don't know. Yeah. It's one of those intangibles, isn't it? It's like you could make the connection that transforms our business to like the next level, but I don't know.
You might not.
Or you just might just have a really great time. Or you might not.
Yeah. I hope they do. Everyone that's going has a really good time. I'm sure they will. I'm sure it'll be a really great event. So
I've heard nothing but good things about them so far, really. So, yeah.
If you're there.
Everyone that's going, I hope you have loads and loads of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to get events in the UK again. What do you reckon? WordCamps, meetups in person. I know the London one started.
They did do it, didn't they?
they had an in-person event. I wonder if we're going to see others sort of join that and maybe another WordCamp at some point. I don't know.
I'd love another UK WordCamp.
Yeah, me too. It'd be nice to see everyone. I haven't seen them like for so long, you know. So
no, I'd actually really like it if it wasn't London.
I think
it would be fun to go somewhere a little bit different again, but we'll see.
Such as Enlightened? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Joe, I've never been to Liverpool. I've never, there's loads of places in the UK I've never really been to, but there's so many amazing places. Like, you do one in York, or, you know, there's just loads of great cities, and somewhere up in Scotland again. Well, we did Edinburgh. Edinburgh was good.
Yeah, Edinburgh, yeah. It's good.
Good to catch up with everyone. Yeah, it would be good. There's a good gang here in the UK, as there is, I'm sure, all over
it
the world.
It just takes so much effort to organize one now. I don't know, it seems to have gone a lot more, what's the word, harder to get it all, you know, it's a bit more polished than it used to be, and therefore that adds a bit more time and effort to it all, I think. Back in the day when I sort of helped organize the one, I think it was 2013, it was just a little bit more, what you see is what you get, you know. It's not going to be the smoothest thing in the world, but it's going to work and everyone's going to have a good time, but you know.
Yeah, expectations are definitely higher now.
I don't
necessarily know if that's a good thing. I think we've kind of lost the grassroots stuff a little bit because of that. I think it's really good that we have polished WordPress events, because it's just good for the industry, I think. Good for people that are like looking to kind of invest in the industry and like,
yeah,
it shows WordPress in a good light. But I do think that there was potentially too much interference at the grassroots level, to the extent that people just gave up because, like you say, it got too difficult to meet the high standards. So
yeah, it's the thing. Sat here now, like thinking about organizing one, it's so much time, wouldn't it? I just couldn't do it, I don't think, at the moment.
Yeah,
but. All right, I hope there is one. I really do hope there is one soon, but fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Right, should we wrap up?
I think so.
Yeah.
Been nice to chat to you again. And
it has. Yeah,
some interesting stuff going on in the world. Thanks for watching, everybody, or listening, if you're listening to the podcast. And anything else to say, Mark?
Well, we'll see you again soon. Well, see or listen soon. To you, hear you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.